Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. This week, guests in the Monkey House include comedy producer, host of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems, it's Vicky Hanlon. Welcome.
That's me. Thank you. Yay.
Our podcast joined the Planet Broadcasting Network on the same day, I think.
Did we?
Same week. I think. Aww. We came in at the same time.
That's exciting.
Yeah. We're twins.
We're brethren.
Twinning.
Oh, wow. That's nice for you guys.
Oh, and also.
And the other one.
Also joining, less important. We don't have any key historical dates in common, but Melbourne comedian and animal person, Raewyn Pickering. Welcome to the Monkey House.
Oh, thank you. I'm really happy.
Animal person.
Here.
You work with animals as a part time capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. I work in two different animal farms. Ooh. You thought there was just one, but. No.
I also thought there was just one.
I did too, yeah. I visited you at one, it was great fun.
Yeah.
No primates, though.
I was going to ask, are there primates?
Well, maybe one day there'll be a farm animal, but not currently.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Actually, I hope they don't ever become a farm animal. I didn't mean that sincerely.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that would suit the farm environment, to be honest.
No.
I don't think it would.
It's not good for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're better than that.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah. I think they're better than a donkey or a goat. Yeah, well, let's go see a goat at an animal farm.
Oh, goats are pretty cute.
Let's go see a gorilla, the king of the world, on a mountaintop somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but
if you
want to
see a gorilla.
Have you seen the little goats like jump on stuff? Yeah. And oh, they're real cute. Yeah.
You don't have those kind of goats, do you?
Yeah.
They're all kind of goats.
They jump on stuff.
Yeah.
They all do.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy?
You got jumping
goats.
There are
some, though, like in those pictures where they climb the trees, we don't have those ones.
Yeah. But all of the, like, especially the little ones, they all jump on stuff. They love it.
Jump on everything.
That classic YouTube video of that bouncing goat who sort of is doing parkour off the other goats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, we've got a few of those.
You got a few parkour goats?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Maybe they're pretty good then.
Yeah, they're all right. Goats are pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Change my tune.
Start a goat podcast now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe.
Cool.
Can I just really weird sidetrack, but we found out like a week ago that one of our mum goats, this might be a bit disturbing, but one of our.
Is that a technical term?
Mum goat? Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to use the
Latin
word
doe
term. In case you guys aren't familiar with the lingo, but one of our like does, she started drinking her own milk.
Oh, the cycle is
complete.
Yeah,
it's really. Yeah, it's really weird. You took a photo of her. She twists her.
Oh, so she can like reach down
and have a little suckle.
Did she have to remove a rib or anything?
No, unless, I mean, she did very clean work if she did.
Right.
Get a hold of that surgeon.
Impossible to tell. Yeah. But,
it's very hard to do intricate surgery
with
hooves.
Yeah.
That's what I've found.
Yeah.
I've often found that.
Opposable thumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Scalpel.
Opposable hooves. Maybe, opposable maybe hooves. One day.
Maybe.
They're all, hey, we're on all on our own journey of evolution. You know, goats are, don't, I don't think
maybe
you should
be. Maybe
this
will be the future.
Shaming goats
we'll
on their.
We'll be drinking their own milk.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're onto something.
Hey, in a world where climate change is the thing, we've got to provide for ourselves, don't we, right?
Yeah, exactly.
She's just getting
I mean,
in early.
It's sustainable, I guess. Yeah. It's very self-sufficient. She's just thinking about the impact on the
exactly.
environment.
Exactly, yeah.
That's brave.
I feel like a goat milk-fed goat. Their milk would be really goat milky, you know? Every time it would just be a little more pure.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, it's just, it just comes straight out as cheese.
Is that pure? That's
the
that's purest,
purest
type of...
The purest goat's milk is goat's cheese.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's common knowledge.
Yeah. Once again, science.
Yeah. I should say I'm not actually a scientist, but I am... interested in science.
Sure.
I'm sort of like an amateur scientist. Okay. Self-taught. Similar to my primatologist credentials, also amateur, self-taught. But also one of the leading self-taught amateur primatologists in the field.
Really?
So,
I would say so.
In Australia or?
Yeah.
Oh.
And beyond.
Wow.
Beyond.
Do you have a favorite primate, Raywin?
I was thinking about this. I do. I've got, I always really love lemurs. I think that was from the John Cleese, like
dangerous creatures.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
What was it? Fierce
I remember
creatures.
Watching it. No, he had a documentary.
Oh right.
That, yeah,
he must love them because
fierce creatures. Yeah, because that. But yeah, I've always really loved them. But then in person, they're not quite as exciting. I've found.
Right.
Sure.
So in person, probably the gibbon because they run around with their hands in the air.
It's got great arms.
Yeah, great arms.
Are they the swingy ones? Like really long-armed swingy boys?
Yeah.
Okay. I like them too.
I guess so.
When you were like, what's your favorite primate? I thought of a very specific one. not a breed of them. I was like, oh, no.
Oh.
Like, because I grew up reading Coco. You know, the gorilla book?
Yeah.
So she was always my favorite.
Oh, right.
Mm. With the sign language and the kitten. And
got a few listeners who love Coco.
Oh, love Coco.
We're going to do an episode dedicated to Coco at some point.
She's the best. Topic.
Someone said, whoever was on one episode, they said that she killed a kitten. I don't think it was as bad as they made out. It wasn't like it was on purpose.
No, I think she accidentally sat on it or something, didn't she? Oh. Or she loved it too much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
You can lose a couple to too much love.
Yeah. I love love, that's what... you know. I think there's going to be some sort of attrition, you know, in love.
Sure.
Am I using that word right?
Sure.
Great. What's your favorite primate, Vicky?
Apart from Coco? Okay.
You just said it.
Yeah.
Do you know what you did just say?
Yeah. I feel like Matt didn't accept your answer, though.
Yeah,
did you
feel like he's, just not listening. Brutal.
Wow.
I do like orangutans as well.
Orangutans are great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really
good. Because Coco's a gorilla. Gorillas are great.
They are.
Mm.
The West and the Eastern, I love them all.
What about the mountain?
Mountain.
Lowlands?
Yeah.
Yeah, lowlands, mountain.
Great.
Up, down, east, west, left, right.
All over
the place. Love me a gorilla.
Mm.
This week, Vicky, you chose the topic for us to talk about.
I did. Do I regret it? Maybe. We'll see.
It is the show which I always thought was called Monkey Magic, which is actually called Monkey.
Yep.
But the theme song of the show is called Monkey Magic, and that's why me and apparently a lot of other people think it's called Monkey Magic.
I also thought it was called Monkey Magic. Because I think when I wrote to you, I was like, yeah, let's do Monkey Magic.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, absolutely. And then I guess we both looked it up and went, oh, oops. No, not what it's called.
Yeah, I think if you would say to anyone, hey, did you watch Monkey? No one would know what you're talking about.
It's a bit vague.
You have to say Monkey Magic.
I can't call this episode Monkey.
No.
No.
You can't.
So I'll call it Monkey Magic.
There would be an uproar.
I think there'll be uproar either way. People actually called Monkey Magic.
Yeah.
Well, listen to the first 10 minutes. We mentioned that.
We talk about it. You put it in brackets, 1978 TV series. It's not quite the same.
Do you want to break it down briefly what the show's about? We just watched the first episode.
We did just watch the first episode, which is a setup, not remotely similar to anything else that the whole series is.
Right.
But it's basically about a monkey king who was born from an egg on a mountaintop. That's the Raven's looking at me going, yeah. What was that? But that's the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
And him and two other monsters guide a priest to India. Journey to the West.
Journey
to
the West.
What it's called in English. What is it?
So the Japanese, it's a Japanese show.
Yeah.
Film from 1978 to 1980. Two seasons.
78, I got it right.
Well done.
Yeah.
And it was called Sayuki, something like that.
Yeah.
Which translates to Journey to the West, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was based on an old famous novel.
I was going to say, it's like a fable kind of thing, isn't it?
Yes, and a lot of different variations of this have been made over hundreds of years.
Sure.
And they are still being made today. Now, but this was quite a different version of it. They mucked around with a lot. They had changed genders of some characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they also...
You just wanted to have a bit of fun.
It was. Yeah, they made it... It was more... They definitely lent into the comedy of it more. Yeah.
With this monkey fable, Monkey King. You know? Just have a bit of fun with him.
So it was a Chinese novel from the 16th century it's believed to be by Wu Chengen.
Sure. Well, that's what I would have guessed.
But it's not. There is some dispute about that.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of the big four novels of Chinese literature.
So this is one of the... Chinese novels.
This is one of the big four.
Right.
Yep.
Can you name the other three?
I could, but I won't. Not on this case. This,
no, that's fair enough.
None of them are about primates. Okay, it would not be relevant. It would not be appropriate.
But just know that you know.
I need you to know that I know. Yeah.
Sure.
It was filmed in northwest China and Inner Mongolia. This is all from a great resource I often use, and I don't know if you don't know if you've got it out on the farms yet. Wikipedia.
Ooh.
It was dubbed into English from 1979 with dialogue written by David Weir. The dubbed version was broadcast under the name Monkey and broadcast in the United Kingdom by the British Broadcasting Corporation. Then in 1981, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation debuted the BBC dubbed version at 6 p.m. on weeknights, and since then the show has been frequently repeated on the ABC, notably during the contemporary youth TV show Recovery.
Yes!
Which aired episodes of Monkey Weekly from 96 to 2000, and then when Recovery was put on hiatus, it was replaced with 3 hours of Monkey.
Hell yes! Wow. Sorry, Dylan episodes. Lewis. Bye! Just going to play Monkey now.
So there's 52 episodes, and they didn't even... all get translated. So
yeah.
I think only 30-something were translated initially.
They're trying to work out what the storyline is the whole time.
Was I reading that they did the rest of them for like a DVD release?
That's right, yeah. Not too long ago. And so when they were playing 3 hours of it on ABC.
Sure.
What's that, like 6 episodes? And there's 30-something. So every 6 weeks they're starting again?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is why I've seen it so many times, just because I just watched it every week. And, yep, okay.
So the two monsters you were talking about, there's Sandy.
Sandy
he's
and...
He's the sea demon?
Sea monster-y ex-cannibal guy.
And he's cast out of heaven because he broke a jade cup.
Yeah. She was not happy about that.
She was weeping. Yeah.
She was very upset.
And then there's Pigsy.
Pigsy.
Who's what did he do? He was kicked out of heaven for loving too much.
Sexual harassment.
Oh, okay. That's whoa.
That's what it was.
That is not a Coco loving too much kind of situation.
I saw the setup bit. I obviously didn't see what happened. Because the bit before it was, he was just, someone was like, you also have feelings for her, don't you?
No, and then at the near the end of it, she was running away and he kept grabbing her. And
oh, missed the bit.
You've
got
to open your eyes to sexual harassment.
I've been doing some great research.
Yeah.
Classic guy, yep. Closing his eyes to discrimination.
La, 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 la.
He sexually harassed the emperor's mistress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he got kicked out of heaven and landed in a piggery.
Yeah.
And he ended up over the next 500 years morphed into a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is weird because Sandy didn't like turn into a fish.
No, he did, no. But he did lose the sort of the top part of his hair.
Yeah.
And his mustache.
Has a weird haircut from then on.
So like a kind of like a monk like a sort of thing.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So he's got a fringe. Like a weird, he's got bangs, but he's got missing a circle.
Classic
on
fish
top.
Kind of.
But he's also got a skull necklace, which
which I assume is like all the people that he's eaten because they always say ex cannibal
right
when they describe him.
Did they say that? Was that in heaven he was an ex cannibal?
Or
the cannibal stuff was on Earth?
I don't know. But would he get to
if you're a
heaven
demon,
if he was a cannibal?
Yeah. Also, are you a cannibal? If you're a demon, are you a cannibal unless you're eating other demons?
I was going to say, if you just eat people,
that's not a cannibal. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, this is something to research.
This comes up most weeks. What is a cannibal? What is a cannibal to you?
To me, no, I don't know.
It's mean that that title follows him around as well. Like, he's not a cannibal anymore, but he's constantly
you're a cannibal.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I know, it's behind me. Stop bringing it up.
What's the
like,
point of
once, is it? But is it once a cannibal, always a cannibal? You just have to, you're always taking one day at a time.
Right.
He's on a 12-step program. Yeah.
Like an addict.
Exactly.
Sort of
yeah.
Okay.
You're always an addict, but you're, you know, in recovery.
Always
or,
a cannibal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why it's just safer to just not try it in the first place. That's what I'm most scared.
Exactly.
Yeah. In case you'd love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that taste.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you were going to eat a person, which bit would you go for though?
Dark meat or white meat?
Oh, there's a lot of thought going into this.
Yeah.
I'd say too much thought.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it means that you maybe haven't thought about it before.
Yeah.
Which is good.
But you do work. You work at a farm and you eat meat, so you in some ways are kind of like a cannibal. You do
well,
eat your workmates.
In many ways, I'm not a farm animal.
this is the first time I've heard Raywin discuss the fact that she's a chicken.
Yeah.
You going to go on the record?
Look, I'll say I'm not a chicken. But even if I was, chickens do eat their eggs. They can eat their eggs. That's a good form of protein for them, actually. So back
that's kind of what the point of them is, isn't
but
it?
But also, yeah.
So they eat them on, they sort of eat the white stuff on the way
yolk.
Out? Oh, they eat the yolk. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Rad. Good on them.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, if there's not a baby in there, then.
It's because they eat out the egg and then they hatch it. That's probably what happens. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a chickenologist either.
Is that what they're called? Chickenologists?
I'm a self-taught.
Self-taught.
Yes.
Pretty high up in my field, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're there with them every day.
Yeah.
You would know.
Every day in the pen.
Every day going, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you, Tracy. You've pecked me one too many times today. I'm going to eat you and I'm going to eat your kids.
Last peck. Nah, I love you. Love you too much, Trace.
Too much.
Did you know this about David Weir, the guy who dubbed it?
Mm.
This is from an article on theconversation.com. In 1976, the BBC had commissioned him, David Weir, to dub an imported Japanese drama entitled The Water Margin. Weir managed to make a moderate success out of the show, despite the fact that Weir didn't understand a word of Japanese.
Yeah, see, this is this seems to happen with a lot of, well, not a lot. I can think of two. One of them being this show that they get like half of a script when they are adapting stuff.
Yeah,
and so they just make it up. Like they get a general idea of what the story is, and then they just write all the rest of the dialogue. So it turns into like gag dub territory. Where, like, because there's a scene in the pilot where he gets his staff, and it's basically just one big dick joke throughout the whole thing. And I'm like, I don't know if the original Japanese one had the dick joke in there.
I wonder.
I mean, it might have, but I don't know. Did you guys ever watch Samurai Pizza Cats?
I do remember it. I remember the song vaguely.
Yeah.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if I ever watched it or not. Well,
yeah, it was. I really loved it when I was a kid, and it was another one of the ones that I went back and watched like a couple of years ago. And its dub is just them making fun of the show the whole time, like because they didn't get the scripts and they just had to make it all up. So it's just this tongue-in-cheek narrator the whole time, and it's hilarious. Like, it's great, but like, I want to know what the original show was, because it's not a comedy.
It sounds like it's some sort of spoof of Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, probably. Cats. Yeah. Or they started around the, oh no, Samurai would have been a few years later. So yeah, probably is. But they have like a slide from their pizza shop that they go down and they shoot out, and then they're really? In the, yeah, and then they fly
never
to
heard of this.
Really? No. All right.
Grow up, Rowan. You had a lot to learn in this amazing. World. Okay? You get out of the pig pen every now and then and take in a bit of culture. Just, okay?
Yeah. Watch a bit of the ABC.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I missed out a lot.
Just a little disappointed.
A lot of these awesome gags. These guys making up a story.
So good.
So following the success of The Water Margin, the conversation goes on to say, he was asked to in 1979 to work his magic on a Japanese production of Journey to the West, which is the show Monkey. Considering Weir's monolinguistic capabilities... The BBC's translation of Monkey.
He can only speak English. Yeah. He doesn't know a word.
So and he knows no one who speaks Japanese either, right? Nah. Like, he cannot employ someone.
This is 1978. You know, there's no mobile phones. You can't just jump on Wikipedia or Google Translate.
Nah.
So, yeah, he basically did a complete rewriting. It says he added plenty of puns, double entendres, and pseudo-psychological musings. The BBC made this television show utterly compelling for adolescent audiences, despite the fact it became increasingly distanced to the original. British voice actors speaking in faux-oriental or faux-oriental accents completed the transformation of this tale. An approach that would be seen as rather distasteful.
I was going to say, I think now we probably just call it racist, but yeah.
I don't think you'd get away with that anymore.
No. Yeah. I read somewhere that they were like, no, but we were impersonating what the original ones kind of sounded like. I'm like, no, that's worse. Don't say that. It's way worse.
I think, it is interesting, but it was clearly a different time. This is in a pre-9/11 world. You got to remember the world was different.
Yep.
We were more naive back then. We just didn't know. We didn't know.
We didn't know.
I say we like I was alive.
You were there. You were doing it.
It was me. We were all doing it. We were all translating Japanese dramas into sort of pun-heavy English comedies.
Viewing.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, if you didn't, cast the first stone.
Exactly.
The first... Monkey stone.
Your latest monkey stone. Because
he is from a stone.
He's from a stone.
Yeah.
Stone
he's the
egg.
Punkiest.
He's the punkiest monkey that ever popped. Popped.
Yeah, popped. What a wild. It's a wild lyric.
Wild lyric.
So on this first episode, I guess we should tell the story of what we saw.
Sure.
Monkey's created from a stone. This all happens in a great, catchy sort of disco.
Yeah, something about a phoenix needs feathers to fly.
Yep.
Yep.
And then...
that ancient proverb of that.
So then he's born out of a stone.
Yep.
He leaps out of it. And at that stage, we're in a full fursuit, which is the only
time. He actually looks like a monkey. And I wonder if he's... Is he just, like, meant to be a monkey the whole way through like that, and he just looks like a man because they couldn't afford
right.
stuff? Yeah. Or...
Well, because he was hanging out with all the other monkeys.
Yeah.
They were all going crazy at the start.
And there's a guy later on who's a dragon who just looks like a dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
I wonder.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, are they, is it a budgetary restraint?
Like, is he meant to be just a monkey running around and they couldn't do CGI back then?
Because that makes it very different.
It does.
To me.
Yeah.
So then he's a fighter. He's fighting
He's
over,
a king. He's the monkey king.
Monkey king. And he's fighting over a huge period of time, right?
Yeah, he's just constantly loud and fighting. He loves to fight.
But eventually sort of this gets the attention of those up in heaven.
Well, I think that they get annoyed by how loud he's being on Earth.
Right.
I think that that's the whole thing is they basically are like, because the emperor can't sleep because monkey's being too loud on Earth.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, monkey has to be quiet. And so they bring him up to heaven to say, like, to so he'll shut up on Earth. I think that's
right. Yeah, they're saying
just
bringing him
around
in.
With them. Like, that created all the problems. Don't bring him up to you.
I know.
They did not think it
through. Why would you bring it closer?
So at first, they try to
try to bring him in by giving him a title of
stable boy.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it was like director of the stables. Which meant
cleaning up the manure.
Do you do that on the farm?
But so do they still have? Well, yeah, but you would think, why would they still have horses like in heaven?
Yes,
everything's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
So
one
you reckon?
Horse
you reckon that
there?
You reckon that
let
they
alone
don't?
Their poop.
Well, I reckon that the horses probably look like people.
Yeah,
because right. Everything like the dragon looks like a dude and the monkey looks like a dude. So,
but so they still just toilet. Shit out.
Yeah,
people. Yeah,
they just
don't use toilets.
But do you have to poop in heaven? Like,
well, surely you would. No,
because you have to.
Not in my take, heaven.
No, not no, that's outlawed.
Yeah, that's weird. But once he figures that out, he's like, this is not good enough.
Yeah, because he asks, like, what level of heaven am I?
Yeah.
And the guy's like,
that was a fun ride, wasn't it?
That was fun. That feels like that had to be pretty accurately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because, yeah, he was going down.
Demonstrating on like a list that you're not on this list. Yeah. You're way you're on, below this list.
He had to crouch down. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was brilliant.
So then he got given a new title after kicking up a stink of protector of the peach garden. And they'd been growing for millennia, some of these peaches.
Yeah. So the peaches
Which
are like.
Again, seemed very foolish of them to be like, oh, let's.
Let's give the loud, annoying guy.
I really trust. He's very far down the totem pole. He can't clean up horseman,
yeah. Yeah. Just protect the very important. Peaches,
which he quickly ate,
all of them,
giving himself immortality, which is what he was after.
Yeah, so really, he got his way.
Yeah,
he got exactly what he wanted. He manipulated them masterfully.
Yeah,
unintentionally, maybe, but perfectly.
And then they kicked him out, as well as kicking out Pigsy for
sexual harassment,
and Sandy for breaking a. Cup.
Yeah, it feels like a bit of a deal. You broke a cup and you were...
Maybe they're still a bit mad about the cannibal stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to find an excuse.
Just get rid of him. Like, I don't care what it is.
He broke the cup
trying to... He hasn't eaten anyone in a while.
That's
true. You know how to do it. Well, you break the cup, mate. Get out.
What were you using that cup for? Eating people? Were you eating people with that cup?
Definitely.
Some people in it. All right.
But he was trying to protect... Something.
I was trying to protect the cup. I think he thought it was going to break, so he picked it up.
So he picked it up and dropped it.
And that is from memory. That's sort of his character through the show as they go on the journey. He's always sort of the self-righteous but also whiny kind of guy.
Yeah. And I remember him being my favorite character, and now I'm like, why?
Right. I was a Pigsy fan.
Fair enough.
Especially when...
sexual harassment.
I look... I don't think I ever saw the first episode.
No.
I remember because I'm pretty sure as the series goes on, when he fights, he can transform into look more like a pig or less.
I think
like
so,
a pig.
Yeah.
And that was just real fun as a kid to see a guy with a snorter. So you call it pig nose, Raymond? Actually, I didn't even connect that. You were the perfect person to have on this episode about a pig man.
A pig man.
You work with pigs most days.
Yeah.
And that's just the comedy industry.
Yep.
Oh, hello. Oh,
that's a bit cheeky.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't start that sentence.
Nah,
meaning
that's,
to
that's
zing
a good
myself.
Thing. You're supposed to be a pig in comedy. That's
right.
Okay.
Gig pig.
Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway.
Get your snout in the trough.
Get amongst it.
So they're
no,
all
done.
That's
a snout.
That's basically the whole.
No, snorter. We're
I
going
did
with
say snorter initially.
Yeah. But then you change it to snout. So.
Right.
And then we are introduced also to. Tripitaka, who is a Buddhist monk priest,
priestess.
It's a woman playing it, but it's supposed to be a boy.
Okay.
It always was a boy in the past.
Yeah,
And we meet him right at the end. 500 years has gone past.
Yep,
monkey's been trapped under a rock.
He gets banished for What, lying to Buddha, essentially?
Well, yeah. Well, she made a bet with him.
She did make
a bet. It was Buddha in female form.
Yeah.
And they bet that he couldn't fly out of her hand, and he flew out to what he thought was the end of the world.
Yep.
And it was the five pillars at the end of the universe, but those five pillars turned out to be Buddha's fingers.
Yep.
One of which he pissed on.
Yeah. definitely don't remember that.
I mean, it's the BBC dub isn't doing that.
I think it's a pretty cheeky show already.
No,
yeah.
They did add the sound effects for it, though, because you saw his face, like, really contort. Like, yeah. It was a really good pee. And they added the nice little sound effects.
That's true, yeah.
So he lost the bet that he said he could definitely fly out of her hand. But
if he won it, he would be the ruler of heaven.
Right.
And then if he lost it, he gets trapped under a rock for 500 years.
Which is what happened. So, yeah. And then right towards the end of the episode, that 500 years passed, we see Pigsy is transformed into a pig.
Yep.
Piggish man.
Yep.
You've got Sandy who's...
with a new haircut. A
few skulls around his neck now. Yeah. And you've got... that's when we meet Tributaka. People are plundering a village.
Yeah.
The villagers. And he's just there.
About to kill him.
Yeah. And they all said so.
Yeah.
We're going to kill you. And he just doesn't react. He just keeps praying.
And they go, oh, they're not afraid of me. They must know something that I do not know. And
then they run away.
And they just run.
And the whole village bows down.
It's a good life lesson.
Him. Yes. Yes. And so that's when they all come together and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
From there, I guess they group together and they start their journey.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and watch the second episode because I don't remember how they all, like, meet each other.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Monkey's already met Pigsy and Sandy, and I guess Pigsy and Sandy probably know each other from heaven.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them having, like, an additional relationship before that. I just, like, right. I don't remember them liking each other particularly at all.
I was expecting this episode to be them meeting each other.
Yeah, I was too.
But it's 45 minutes and we didn't even get there.
They didn't. Well, it's very convoluted and long for it. What is this? It's meant to be a children's show. Like, there's a lot of storylines.
Was it intended to be a children's show in Japan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because there is...
I mean, it'd be a weird adult show.
That's true.
Like, I mean, maybe. But I think it's meant to be a
weird
kids
show.
Yeah, it is. Doing your list of... What do you mean, Raylan?
Do you want to know what happened to the actors?
Sure. So
I found an article on news.com.au, classic news source.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's true.
In Australia.
Yep.
And it goes through each of the characters. You got Monkey. He was played by Masaki Sakai. So good. All the actors are great, but,
yeah, but
something about him is just such a good actor. I love
really
his character.
He goes all in.
Yeah.
Like there's no doubt in his expressions.
All of the actors really hammered up. Yeah. I feel like they have a lot
especially
of fun.
Pigsy.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh. Sorry about that. So he was a big deal apparently in Japan even before Monkey came about. He'd been in a number of TV shows and also had a couple of hit songs with his band, The Spiders.
Ooh, he's a muso.
But Monkey made him an even bigger star, and Sakai told Rolling Stone, "The attention from fans during the show's run was intense. I was mobbed with fans every morning who would wait for me as I went to work," he said in 2000. "I would give them cans of juice."
So Japanese.
Post-Monkey, Sakai continued acting and also hosted several TV shows, including It's the Kitchen.
From Monkey to Kitchen.
And New Year's Stars Unique Tricks Competition.
Oh,
yes.
In 2011, he married his third wife, who's 22 years younger.
Oh.
This article that goes, player.
Oh, no. He's just having some fun. He's a player.
Andrew Bucklow.
With his juice.
Oh. Player.
Player.
I don't know if you can pull off player, Andrew Bucklow.
No. No.
Looking at your byline picture. I don't think he's ever said that out loud.
No, I guarantee you he has not.
He's now 70, or at the time of this article, which was... almost 2 years ago. So he'd be about 72 now.
Sure.
Oh, so 22 years younger, isn't it? His wife would be 50.
Yeah.
Like, still not great.
I mean, it's 50, still a player
so
move.
I'm definitely ageist when it comes to relationship gaps. Absolutely.
Don't hate the player. Don't hate the player.
Hate the game.
He could be her dad.
Well.
I mean... That,
she could
if
also
that's
be
the case.
A consenting adult. Vicky.
Yeah,
sure.
You're very much in love.
She has agency.
Sure.
She's a strong, independent woman, probably. Okay. And here you are saying who she can and can't marry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you get off?
Inherent power dynamics.
Right. his last on-screen role was in the 2012 movie Beautiful World.
So he's retired.
And it also mentions, I think it sounds like he has. I reckon we could bring him back out of retirement though.
Yeah.
Get him to come on the pod.
Oh, that would be a dream.
That would be a real dream. Yeah. Bloody hell, imagine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Apparently this sideburns weren't real.
Oh, what?
That's a bummer because that's a great part of his look.
It really is. It's all about
the sideburns and that and the metal
crown. And the metal crown thingy? Yeah,
which
or headband.
Gives him a it's almost headache.
Like that's the
well, no, Trippy Tucker can totally squeeze it on his head.
Oh, right. That's
so like when he's out of line, he magics it tighter.
Right.
So that it's like a just collar on it, like a zappy
you'd
collar
think,
on
like,
a dog.
You just take it off then.
But it's so tight around his skull.
Oh.
Yeah. He looks different without it. It's funny that it's a thin gold band around his head, but in this episode where he's not wearing it.
Yeah,
he
does look weird.
Okay.
Let's talk about Tripitaka.
Sure.
The role of the young male monk was played by a female actor, Masako Natsumi. The actor who played Monkey, who we just talked about, Sakai, told Rolling Stone he did a lot of... I mean, he did as much research for his news.com article as I did on this. He looked at, I'm assuming, at the same Rolling Stone article. And he said, they gave the role to a female to generate buzz about the show. If only men were used, it would not be interesting, he said. And by shaving her hair, it added to the buzz that was generated by the program.
She was definitely wearing a bald cap.
That's what I thought
definitely wearing a bald cap in that first one.
So I'm guessing maybe that's the pilot.
Right. And then they thought she didn't commit to it until it was actually taken to series.
That's fair.
I had the exact same thought. She continued acting after Monkey appearing on stage and in TV and film. But in 1985, she died of leukemia, just 27 years of age.
Oh, she's part of the 27 Club.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's sad.
It
Why
is
did you
sad.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's a real downer for the podcast.
Sorry, I shouldn't have.
I guess it's life.
Forever young.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, at least she's immortalized.
That's right. Yeah, she's great in this role. And Pigsy is played by Toshiyuki Nishida.
In the first season. Because it's a different one, in the second.
That's right, Tonpei Hidari.
Sure.
In the second season. But Nishida... accepted the role on another show before he found out there was going to be a second season.
Oh,
so that's why he had to.
Classic era.
Yeah. He's considered to be one of the greatest actors in Japan.
Huh. From this role, right? From like Pixie.
He went on to
he
star.
He really went method and like he was living amongst the pigs. Beautiful to watch.
Yes. He apparently was in a 2008 film with Brittany Murphy called The Ramen Girl. Have you heard of that?
No.
Nishida's received 10 Japanese Academy Award nominations during his career. And the 69-year-old, so 71-year-old, is currently filming a film, Outrage, Final Chapter. So that must be out already. So he's still acting.
Still doing it. Good on him.
Yeah.
And then you've got Hidari, who played him in the second season. He was last seen on Japanese TV screens in the 2016 miniseries called Kozure Shinbi. So he's still going as well.
Awesome.
I'd tell you what, I'd take it back what I said about Andrew Bucklow. This article, I reckon he himself is a player. And I reckon he probably says it all the time.
Yeah.
Sandy, this is what Bucklow talks about. Sandy says Shiro Kishibe played Sandy, a water monster and former cannibal.
Yeah. Well,
he's moved on.
Yeah.
Why are we still bringing him up? He kept
he's renounced. forever pinned with that.
He went on to act beyond Monkey and hosted an entertainment talk show for a few years. But then it all went wrong, according to an interview with Masaaki Sakai from 2000, maybe from Rolling Stone,
I reckon.
Shiro Kashibi, who played Sandy, left acting only to go bankrupt after investing in too much antiques.
What?
Oh, no.
Jade cups.
He never recovered.
He kept breaking them.
He was the last guy to be investing.
This will be the one.
Smash. This is from a different article. This is from an article with The Age. So he did read around.
That actually took it from the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, that's right. Kashibi returned to acting in the mid-2000s and was last seen on screen in 2009 episode of the drama series Reset. And then there's this character, Horse, who I don't recall at all.
I don't remember that character either. When I did the research of this, they're like, oh, yeah, and there's a horse that used to be a dragon. And I'm like, I don't remember the horse.
I don't remember
because they have a horse that Chibitaka rides on.
Is that
horse? But apparently, he turns into a human sometimes.
Oh,
that does
vaguely ring a bell, actually. Now, I think I was reading that too.
Well, I've never seen any of them, but I was reading. Yeah, that there was this other character. There was a dragon.
Yeah,
and he accidentally, or maybe on purpose, ate the horse, the original horse.
Right.
And then got a bit embarrassed, and so decided, well, now I just have to be the horse, so they'll never know.
Right.
I've just got. So yeah, it says. Wait, I wasn't listening. I was reading probably what you just said. Did you just
this
explain?
Is the same thing. He doesn't look at sexual harassment and he doesn't listen to women.
Just totally blanking me.
You just said that a monster ate the horse.
Yeah, dragon ate the horse. Exactly what she just said.
I'm when you keep talking, I think I found the answer.
If you want to explain it again.
okay. I think I've got this one.
Yeah, the listeners will hear it once Matt says it.
So horse... Thank you so much for that explanation. No, but
the actor who played Horse
was Shunji Fujimura, and he also had a steady acting career after Monkey and is best known for playing Watari in Death Note in 2006 and Death Note 2. He died in January 2017 at 82 years of age.
I know Death Note. That's the only other thing that we've said here that I've heard of ever.
Yeah, right.
So,
what's Death Note's deal?
It's an anime and manga that was a guy gets a book that he can write names in and then they die.
Right.
So, he becomes and this demon comes and tells him and, yeah, it's basically him deciding who he wants to kill.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well... this guy, obviously, he played a horse.
Yep.
And it was in...
Death Note.
Death Note. So, yeah. I mean, what else
really
can you do?
Really the breakout role is the horse that led him to...
And there's they also mention here that the English dub of Horse was done by Andrew Sachs, who played Manuel in Fawlty Towers. Interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, now I wish I remembered who, with the horse character.
Yeah, and how often he pops into the show.
Yeah, how is he, because obviously he's a horse most of the time because Chibitaka rides the horse.
Yeah, I remember the horse.
He doesn't walk anywhere, really. He's just always on the horse.
Mate, get off the horse.
Get off the horse.
Stop being the horse.
Yeah, it's weird that he was like, I ate the horse. I better be the horse.
Get another horse.
Get another horse.
Mate, go to the horse shops. You're a monster.
Yeah.
You're going to dedicate your whole life to being a horse?
To being a horse now just because you ate a horse.
Rather than just popping down to the corner horse shop.
He obviously felt really bad.
Figure it out, man.
Yeah.
So watching it again, Rayo, and this is the first time you saw it. Vicky, this is the first time you'd seen it
In a little while, yeah.
How did you find it? Did it meet your sort of memories?
Well, I mean, this episode is a bit different because they're not together and they're not traveling to India, which is what the rest of the entire show was.
Is it? So the rest of the show is just them fighting?
Yeah, it's like Monster of the Week kind of TV show where they just come up against a different problem every week, but they're consistently riding.
They're like Hercules.
Yeah, exactly like Hercules. Okay, I get it.
Exactly. Like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly like
exactly
Scooby-Doo.
Like Scooby-Doo. A lot of masks involved.
Great. Scooby was a horse. It's real confusing.
But I think like it was maybe a bit more tongue-in-cheek than I remember it. Like I remember it being campy and all that sort of stuff, but there was more dick jokes than I remember as a child.
I don't remember the dick jokes and I don't remember the death.
No, I don't. Yeah, like Monkey kills a guy at the start.
Yeah, there's
like I definitely
that was light killing.
I know, like, but I definitely didn't think that that was a thing that he did.
It was just off screen, but you could see that he was definitely driving it.
He plunged a massive machete into a guy's chest,
and later on there was a sword that went through a chest. I'm just like, I don't remember that, but I just wouldn't have known what was going on.
Yeah, I reckon I was. Yeah, because I definitely watched it before it was on Recovery. And what did you say, 1996 it started on Recovery?
Yeah.
And I think I watched it before that. And
yeah,
then I
it
watched
was
it
nostalgic
again.
To me
yeah,
then.
Then, yeah.
So I reckon I watched it in like the late 80s or maybe even, I don't know.
Yeah, I reckon maybe early 90s I probably watched it and then watched it again when it came back on in mid
It's funny how quickly you can be nostalgic about something when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm 12 now.
Yeah. I remember that from when I was 8.
When I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And Ryan, what was your first impression? Had you ever heard of it?
Yeah, yep. No, I definitely heard of it. And I guess especially more recently with the new
The reboot.
But I haven't seen that either. I haven't seen the remake.
Well, I think we're going to have to do an episode soon about that.
I've been avoiding it.
I wonder
but
if they kept
I'll
like,
watch
the
it.
Main theme song. The theme song came on, I was like, oh, yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the theme song.
Yeah. I was actually, do you get to facts?
Facts? Do you have facts?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your facts.
Oh, I was looking up some because
I mean, everything I've said has been a fact.
Everything.
Well.
I don't know. When do I get to facts?
I don't know if you get to
them. I'm not making.
If at some point.
I'm not making this up.
You've got some truth here, please enlighten us. But I was reading one that was, it's always been in English, that one.
The song.
It was never ever Japanese and they rebooted it. It was always English. And the guy,
still does it. Like
so
he still performs.
He's a legitimate musician in this band and he still does that song.
Every performance.
Right. It's
so
a big hit.
Yeah.
I'd love
Do you reckon it's his encore or do you reckon he closes the first
one? I reckon open and close.
Yeah? Or is just that 17 times in a row?
It's Vanilla Ice doing Ice Ice Baby. That's cool. I did not know that. So the Japanese original run had an English
that song.
Which is interesting.
Because that does tell the setup of the show. So I guess probably what he worked off.
Yeah.
Hey, Weir? David Weir? You can work off this.
I guess the fact that
30 seconds
it's
of
info. Got the lyric, the punkiest monkey that ever popped, and he kind of got the gauge for the show from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that gives like at least a bit of a
idea. It's a bit loose. I'm thinking a bit tongue in cheek, you know?
That pole scene, I reckon, originally had dick jokes.
You reckon?
I'm starting to think so.
Well, I guess if he's got him peeing on a hand later, probably has a dick joke earlier
Buddha's hand.
Yeah, Buddha's hand. Yeah.
That was funny because we saw her looking at him.
I thought she would reference that. Yeah, that she'd be like, that she was going to turn the hand around to show like the stain mark.
By the way, she was like, oh, and also really. You pissed on my hand.
She imagine if it was it. Rained down and imagine if it was like on the middle finger as well. That is that's perfect. So you get back at him.
I think it was pretty much as I remembered.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't seen it in, I reckon, nearly 20 years or something.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while.
But it was, just a few of the effects. My standards were different 20 years ago. But you'd see, like, when it was played on Recovery, it would be like the cloud. It looked like such a flimsy.
Yeah.
Drawn on cloud.
I do remember that being better.
It just looked like a bright light.
Like fluffy
like
light.
Someone just had this light.
But I thought it had held up pretty well. I think it was also fun and funny. And
It's kind of like going back and watching
interesting.
Old episodes of like Doctor Who and stuff like that. Like the effects are kind of similar.
Right.
A bit
like,
clunky.
Yeah. But like there's a nostalgic charm to it.
Because I never liked Doctor Who. I never watched it.
Oh.
They There's no nostalgic charm to it. It's just this is yuck.
What is this?
The colanders and stuff, you know, the kitchen utensil bad guys. I don't like this.
Yeah. But if you watch that, like, because that was like a TV show that I watched with like my family and stuff like that. So I look at it and go, aw.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally what I did when I was a kid.
Well, that's what's interesting here, Raewyn, what she thinks of a show. Yeah, she doesn't have that.
You never saw it.
Did you enjoy it on any level at all?
At all? Sat here for a long time watching it.
It was 40 minutes. I don't think I would watch it in my spare time. Like, that's not.
It's got to be.
I don't think so. But no, there were elements that it's like, oh, that's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I get that. But yeah, it was interesting because it said in a few different places that the budget was so small.
Yeah.
And yet they really try to make it so elaborate. Big. Like all of their helmets are these weird. Maybe it's just cardboard and they're just like.
Maybe.
But yeah.
And all the scenes in heaven and stuff. Like they could have.
Why did they make it so elaborate? Surely they could have.
Yeah, they probably didn't need to have heaven. Corners. You know, it could have been just on Earth. Like, And also, I read that it just got. Like, it was really popular and then they just had to stop making it because they had no money left. So the series just ends.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, it never actually.
Oh, they never arrive.
Yeah. No, they never arrive. They never get where they're going.
What a curse.
Yeah.
Forever on the journey. we normally give a rating of the show or the topic out of bananas. How many bananas out of whatever size bunch you would, you know, however big your bunch would be.
Wow.
So and how ripe? Okay, so how ripe are the bananas as well?
Oh,
a lot of factors to consider.
Yeah. How big is your bunch, Raewyn?
How big? Well, I would say I was like that. It would be lots of overripe bananas.
Right.
Like, yeah. It would be
ready for smoothies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit overdone. Okay. You know? Are you getting that analogy?
But you give a lot. Many bananas. How many is many?
Yeah. You could make a big smoothie.
Yeah.
Maybe five.
Five bananas.
Five overripe bananas. Yeah.
And how big's your bunch? Five out of. How many bananas did you take away?
Multiply them by the two. I don't know, Matt.
This is. Look, everyone else has been on this.
When you have such arbitrary. Like,
you're the
let's
first
just
person
leave
who
it
didn't.
With five overripe bananas.
Okay. I'd love to know how big the bunch is, but sure. I'm picturing seven, but it's hard.
I was going to say eight.
Eight.
Oh.
Eight. How many?
If we're going with the overripe ones, because I get your metaphor there.
Thank you.
If it's a bunch of eight, I'm going to go with seven.
Seven out of eight overripe and bananas.
Overripe.
Oh, very ripe.
That'd be enough to make some banana bread.
Yeah, I reckon I can make a smoothie and some bread to go with the smoothie.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
Bananas. Yeah, right?
That's a good experience for everyone.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say these bananas are perfectly ripened.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it five out of eight perfectly ripened bananas.
Ooh,
spot
really?
On.
That's a very
it was a good
no
time.
Spot on.
No spot on, sorry.
Thank you.
No spot on these bananas. No. They're just pre-spot.
They're just pre-spot.
Wow. The other thing we do at the end of talking about the topic is we try to relate ourselves to the primate on screen.
Okay.
One of the first guests we had on this podcast was scientist and comedian Andy Matthews. He's some sort of scientist. I forget what
As
kind.
We all are.
The self-taught
well, oh, okay.
Scientist.
Hey,
yeah.
I bet he's an actual one.
Yeah,
I think he did science at a university of a type.
Yeah.
So aren't we all?
Oh,
how,
we all.
How dare you?
Well, you're a self-taught scientist.
Oh, yeah,
why
I'm
can't
scientist.
I be one?
Oh, no, you can be.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Thank you.
No, you're right.
That was a very quick backtrack. Yeah, no, don't let me limit you. It's fine. My eyes are open.
Ugh. Anyway, he told us that chimpanzees and humans share about 98% DNA in common, right? How much of your DNA, personally, Raewyn, do you see in monkey from Monkey Magic?
In monkey.
And why?
I could definitely say, you know, some certainly cheeky aspects. I mean, paying on the fingers for sure.
You would do that?
Yeah,
sure.
But, you know, I've long thought that I don't want to be immortal. I don't think I would like it.
No.
I don't think I would have that craving to eat the peaches.
Yep.
So in that respect, I think we're quite different. So maybe 61%.
61%.
61.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
How about you, Vic?
Probably a lot lower. Like, I'm not overly, I'm a bit sassy, but maybe not cheeky.
Not cheeky. Oh.
But yeah, I wouldn't have eaten the peaches either because immortality is seems like a curse, like an actual curse, not a joy to have at all.
No.
So maybe like 30-ish percent.
30-ish percent, right.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's quite low.
I say I feel like it's looking into a mirror for me. Yeah. I'd be immortal.
He's
for
very
sure.
arrogant.
Would you?
I'd love
really?
It. I'd love to live forever for sure.
Why?
Is that a real answer?
Yeah.
Would you?
I'd be keen. Ideally everyone else would as well.
Nah, it's you and then you get to watch all your friends
die.
I don't want to
live that curse.
Okay,
immortality.
So is there a,
I just want life to go on.
Sure. Well, yeah, but that's not what immortality is.
It is if everyone
if
has
everything,
it.
Right. If you fed everyone the peach.
Yeah. But then
that's
also
right. I'd be collecting
the
I'd be
world the peach.
Turning my shirt up and collecting
everyone peaches.
Peaches.
Yeah.
Would you get
millions
it for everyone?
Peaches.
For how much?
For free.
Oh.
Yeah. They come, I'd put them in a can. Right. I'd send them out to supermarkets. Everyone eats the peaches.
Great. I reckon that might have a lot of impact on the world if everyone just stayed alive.
But it also makes you sterile.
Okay.
Like an episode of a kids show
a
I
nice
saw.
Little footnote.
There was I think it was there was some kids show I saw ages ago where
everyone was sterile.
One dimension they were in, it was like everyone was immortal. They stayed the same age forever. But they made the deal that made them infertile as well.
What age do you get to pick or
I think it's whatever age they were. So people would grow up and they'd, you know, do it at whatever the peak age was.
Right.
But it meant that no one, all the kids grew up.
Yeah, so population
popped
stays
out.
The same.
Yeah, so everyone's about the same. So these kids who were
that's a good idea.
Traveling through dimensions sure. got there and they were like, we're going to make you have the immortality pill and stay a kid forever and we're going to share you around because we don't have kids anymore and we're all missing having. Isn't that, what a nightmare.
God, what show is this?
Share you around.
I can't quite put my finger on what it was, but I'm pretty sure an Australian kids show. Yeah, I can't quite remember. But it was that one where they had, like, threw, like, fireballs. Does that ring any bells?
Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z in this country.
Oh, sorry.
No, I can't quite put my finger. I think that's a real memory. If not. That's my idea. I call it.
Yeah, fuck. What a brutal show. The only interdimension thing I can think of right now is Sliders, and it's not that.
No, Sliders is one of my favorites, though. My favorite memory of Sliders, which I talk about all the time to anyone who listen, is where they must have been running out of budget and ideas because they, at the end of one episode, they got to this new dimension and new reality. And everything seemed exactly the same. He's like, oh, this could be, I finally maybe found my reality.
We got home.
But there was only one difference, and that difference was all the women had goatees.
So close.
I mean, it's good enough, right? It's like the episode of The Simpsons where, he finally gets home, but they eat with their snake tongues.
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
Like, close enough.
Even
that's
though
fine.
He just missed out on living in a donut raining world. What's a donut?
What's a donut? Oh.
Heartbreaking. I'd say about 92%.
Really?
Monkey. Yeah. I just don't have the skills of him, but I have all
the characteristics. Sure.
I'm a real
the
jerk,
real
but I think I'm on a
jerk
I'm
with a heart of gold.
Yeah, journey to. I think as the series goes on, he becomes more likable.
Well, this is the thing. He spent 500 years in a rock, and not at one point did he go, oh, maybe I should think about what I've done. He's just
500 like, years later, he's gone.
Just let me out.
Let me out.
I'll get you. But let me out. Please.
That's real funny. That was a great bit. How he's like pleading with, please come on, let me out. I'll do anything. Oh, you'll pay. You'll pay for it. Let me out and you'll pay. No, please. Come on, please. That's good fun.
Yeah.
To finish off the show, we do some Patreon shout-outs. So there's some Patreon supporters to the Do Go On mini network, which includes the podcast Do Go On, also Book Cheat, which is Dave Warnocky's podcast about different books. This week he's done one about a Jane Austen novel.
Sure.
With guests Jess Perkins and Broden Kelly from Auntie Donna. The Do Go On episode this week is about Lasseter's Gold Reef. It's an amazing story.
Is it from Neighbours?
I think yeah. I mentioned Lasseter's okay, in it, and Dave and Jess had no idea what I was talking about. It's about a guy who he believed that he found the biggest gold reef of all time. It's kilometres long, just solid gold rock in the middle of Australia. And it's about him organising an expedition that is a huge disaster to go find it.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's a real fun episode. If you want to check out Do Go On. But if you do support these podcasts at patreon.com/dogoonpod, one of the rewards is you get shout-outs at the end of Primates. And along with that, you get to tell me what your favourite primate is. So I'm going to tell you four of our patrons and their favourite primates. I'd love to hear what your opinions on these are.
Yeah.
This is from Christopher McAuliffe. He says, my favourite primate is Sasquatch.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He says that, which ties in nicely to a sports mascot you should do. His name is Squatch, and he was the mascot for the Seattle Supersonics before they were stolen.
Oh, no.
And he's given me a link. We used to do a segment on this called Primate Sporting Mascot of the Week.
Sure.
But we started running out of
amount of those.
There really weren't as many as I thought there would be. Gorillas are a great sporting mascot. But anyway, I'm just looking on the Wikipedia for Squatch here. He looks great. He's just a classic sort of Harry and the Hendersons look there.
Oh, yeah.
The Supersonics.
A little bit Chewbacca-ish.
Yeah, there is a bit of Chewbacca there about him. Says, how's this for a coincidence? In 2007, Chris Bailey of the rock band The Presidents of the United States of America, who sang
Peaches. Hey, we just
Peaches,
referenced that.
wrote and performed a song about the mascot.
Amazing.
That same year, Squatch attempted to set a world record with a jump of 30 feet on inline skates.
Wow.
Over vehicles owned by NBA players Ray Allen and Robert Swift.
So he's a rollerblader.
He broke a couple ankles.
And a car, I reckon, as well.
So Squatch is. Sasquatch is a Yeti. Is a Bigfoot?
They're all different versions
of a
Yeti's
thing.
The Himalaya one.
Yeah.
Sasquatch is the North American one.
Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yowie is the Australian one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, so when the Supersonics got bought by Oklahoma City, they were moved. The character was retired.
Oh.
But it does remain as part of the intellectual property.
Oh, right. So no one else can have it.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Thanks, Chris.
But apparently the same guy is now performing as Rumble the Bison, which is the Thunder's mascot, the new team.
They didn't fire the guy.
It's like, sorry, mate, he's got Sasquatch or nothing.
Yeah. He's got a unique set of skills that he can transfer. Good on him.
Bigfoot only.
So thanks so much for that, Christopher, bringing back briefly the Primate Sporting Mascot of the Week segment.
Yeah.
Great.
Danik McMeans says his favourite primate is the orangutan because they seem like the best of all the apes and have a great face.
They do have a great face. They have
a great face.
Especially the
male elders.
Oh, yeah.
With the big wads.
Yep.
Love those big flanges on the side of their faces.
That's a good name.
Thanks so much, Danny. Orangutans, I reckon that they do come in often as most. They'd be right up there with me, too.
They just seem so gentle. Maybe people are a bit scared of the other one. Like gorillas can be a little bit feisty.
But they're also pretty gentle often. Gentle. But orangutans do as well. It's the chimps.
The eyes. They're scary.
Yeah.
Sam Henson says, my favorite primate from pop culture is the librarian from Terry Pratchett's Discworld series. He was a wizard / librarian who accidentally got turned into an orangutan, but refuses to be transformed back. He's known for his violent reaction whenever he hears anyone refer to him as a monkey. Orangutans are apes, as you know.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't mention from Monkey Magic. A few times they said ape.
They do, yeah.
And it's like, you pieces of shit. They're trying to get at him, but he doesn't seem to flinch.
No, he doesn't. Maybe because he does not know.
Well, yeah, I wonder what kind of monkey is he. Like maybe.
Yeah, they do never specify. No, they just say he's the king of the monkeys.
Maybe he is an ape. You know,
apes. Do you think apes are kings of monkeys?
Apes are the king of the monkeys.
And you work with animals.
No, I said maybe he is an ape. He's not a monkey. Who knows?
But he's the monkey king.
Oh, this is starting to get a little bit fierce in here. You guys, I know that everyone's got strong opinions.
I've never read Discworld. I've really wanted to, and just there's so many books. There's so many.
But there won't be any more.
No, there won't be any more.
I've read a couple, and they are. I'm putting my foot down.
Yeah.
they are great fun.
Yeah, they seem it. They seem like something I would really love.
Andy Matthews, that scientist we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
He's read every single one. So he's going to come and do an episode about it at some point. We're going to do a librarian special. And finally, Eric Flynn, he says, it has to be Caesar from Planet of the Apes, played by Andy Serkis.
Such a great
character who has been beaten by so much loss, who continues to be the leader his society needs.
Sure. Yeah. I love those movies.
Yeah, same. That was really great.
They're the inspiration for this show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I nearly cried when he goes, no.
Oh, so good.
What a moment.
I really like the I can't remember the name, the orangutan in that.
Morris.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's
like
so good.
How he looks after the little girl.
And he's riding the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Murray
I often wonder, yeah, like really tiny little legs. How does he stay on? You know, very powerful thighs, I guess.
Yeah definitely.
Clench. The answer.
Yeah.
Clench work.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Any final thoughts about Monkey Magic, the show? Will you go watch some more, Raewyn? Have you changed your mind
in the last 10 minutes? I would be interested to see the differences. So I might watch the next step.
Yeah. I'm going to watch the new one, I reckon.
I think we'll do an episode on that soon. Okay. If the people want it, let us know.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Vicky?
Me. You can listen to my podcast, which is on the Planet Broadcasting Network, which is called Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. We talk to comedians and have a bit of a chat and a laugh.
Awesome. I'll put a link to that.
Yeah, do that. And you can find all of my other comedy stuff at handsdowncomedy.com.
Awesome.
Because it's way too long to list all the stuff that I've got going on.
Yeah, you're producing a bunch of shows at upcoming festivals.
Yes.
Raewyn, where can people, what's your best social media?
I've got a Facebook page now and, yep, so you can go like that and I'll be doing a bunch of promo for Comedy Festival coming up, which I'm at the room that Vicky is helping organising. Yep. So that's really exciting at the Cooper's Inn during the Comedy
What's
Festival.
What's the show called?
It's called Lovely.
Lovely.
Exclamation mark.
Ben Searle. Yeah,
with Ben Searle.
And I'll put a link to that as well. And, yes, thank you both so much for joining us. If people want to find Primates online, it's at Primates Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Primates on Facebook. Also, primatespod@gmail.com for email. If you want to find me, I'm MattStewart_art on Twitter, and I'm MattStewartComedy on Facebook and Instagram, and my website is MattStewartComedy.com. If you go /gigs, you can see my upcoming shows in Perth, which I leave for next week, Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, and Sydney. I can't remember if it's been announced yet, but that's coming up soon. That'll be on there.
Heard it here first.
And if you use the discount code DOGOON, you get a discount of some description. And it'll be really great to see you. I'm actually selling, I don't think I've mentioned this yet, I've got Primates beanies made.
Really?
So they're these cool orange and black beanies. I'll be selling them after the shows if people are keen to come on.
Great.
Yeah, in Perth in summer, they're going to sell like
yeah. yeah. They're going to love it.
Yeah, they definitely need them over there. I'll be in Perth next week, so it'll be so cool to see you there. And, check out mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs for that. Also, if you can give us a 5-star review for Primates Online, I'm going to start reading a few of them out. So, you know, make them fun, and I'll read a few of them out in coming weeks. And, what we normally do here to finish off the show is one of the guests riffs a classic sign-off. Thanks so much for joining us, Vicky, and Raewyn as well. And as we always say here on Primates Podcast,
have a good ape.
Have a good ape. Have a good ape.
Vicky, I regret going to Raewyn.
I was going to say something about born from an egg, but...
Let's try.
A good ape punkiest, is better.
Punkiest. Oh, God. Sorry.
Have a good ape, everyone.
Have a good ape.
This podcast
podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.